time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
So this week I chatted with Brooke about housing, seeing as we had the announcement last week and we discussed that a little bit. But there have been a few more developments since then. And then I also discussed with her the Climate Change Commission and some of ACT's climate policies. So here's that little chat. So this week we're back talking about housing, seeing as there's been a few developments in the past week since the government made their announcement. So you've previously stated that the government's approach is to attack landlords when they should be fostering investment. Why should the government be supporting those who already have property and have a place to live instead of those who are struggling to enter the market or even find affordable housing?
Yeah, and I think that's a really important question that you've raised there. Ultimately, the problem is that we're all interconnected and there's no real way of saying that investors are bad and first-time buyers are good or renters are good. We are all kind of working together to provide homes for each other. So if I look at a recent example, this new housing policy, it said that it was supposed to be designed to tilt the balance towards first-time buyers, so more people who are struggling to get into the market could have that choice. But in order to do that, they've tipped the scales away from investors. And on the face of it, you could say, that sounds great. That sounds like that's more housing affordability. But the problem is that people still need a place to live if they don't have their first home. They're still renting. You know, you think of small families, university students, people who have just entered the workforce, if they don't own a home, they still need some place to rent. And the problem is that all the advice that the government got from their housing policy suggested that it would push up rents. So under this new policy from the government, if you think of a first-year uni student, sure, it sounds like it's a good policy that's meant to help, but ultimately it's just going to end up being rent increases.
I mean, so when it comes to moving a property away from investors, obviously there's still going to be investors in the country, but shouldn't this mean that it will mean that some investors are going to sell their property, which will then go to first home buyers?
Well, that's ultimately what they're hoping will be happening. And some investors have said that that's what they would do. But you still have to think, how does this actually help those other first home buyers? There might be a few who might manage to get into their first home, but there will also be a lot of people who won't. What will happen to them is that they won't have quite made enough deposit level to get to that first home yet, so they're still needing to rent for a few years. Ultimately, that just means that the deposit level that they can save for will be reduced because their rent has increased as well. So as a first home hopeful buyer, it's just made it harder to even get ahead in that regard. But ultimately, we need to be looking at how do we kind of grow the pie for everybody? How do we make sure that, you know, we're actually building more homes? Because this problem really is that we're just taking homes from one people and giving them to another. But there's not enough homes that will be sold off to do that. We actually need to be building more.
Okay, so yes, supply is an issue in New Zealand, and that's one part of the issue. But why does ACT say that the government should still be supporting those who are investing in property instead of putting all their focus on first-home buyers?
Well, ultimately, it comes down to that problem about interdependence. We do want to support more people being able to be first-home buyers, but we still want to support people who aren't quite at that stage and they're still renting. And all we're doing is making it harder for people to become first-home buyers by putting up their rent so that the savings that they can make every week are actually reduced. We need to be looking at those long-term investment problems. And when we start, I guess, making divisive policies that target groups of people against each other, what that does is it reduces confidence in the country and what our policy settings are. So if you think of the fact that we need to build more homes, we need to create an environment where an investor actually has the confidence to put their money into a new development to build more homes. With the government changing the rules from one day to the next, that means that the confidence of that person is reduced, which means that they're less likely to actually invest their own money into a development to build more New Zealanders, more homes. And we see that again with Grant Robertson coming out on the weekend and saying, well, if rents are going to increase, well, we'll look at stopping that as well. And that's another blow to investor confidence, because any given day, you're not quite sure what the government is thinking of doing in the future. So why would you put your money into a new building development if there's the chance that the rules will change in the future and you'll be worse off?
So using that logic, why should anyone invest in anything? Because there's always going to be risk if you're making an investment.
Well, there's always going to be risk when you're making an investment, that's for sure. But what is really key is stability. You need to be making sure that the government isn't going to be getting involved, because, you know, you can invest in the share market and all sorts of things, but usually it's not the government stepping in and changing the rules. It's because people have decided that the product you're investing in isn't something that's desirable anymore, so you lose money off that investment. But when the government gets involved and changes the framework under which everybody works, that causes people to say, well, maybe I don't want to invest my money in this country. Maybe I'll invest that in another country instead.
So shouldn't this be considered a risk by investors, and in that case be considered and accepted by property investors? Because as any other investment would have, there's always going to be risk, and in this case it is the government changing some of the rules around it.
Well, what we're seeing here is we're seeing the government looking at property investors as though they're a different class of investor. They're a completely different type of person. And so if you look at the interest deductibility, and this is such a niche issue when it comes to business, any other business expense is treated that tax should be paid on your profits, not on your revenue. So what the government's done here is they've said, well, there's a loophole in the property law, and we're going to make sure that investors, people who put their money in property, are going to be treated in a very different way to anyone else who puts their money in business. We're going to tax you on your revenue. And so you've got people who have put their money into a rental property, and in many cases these are people who have small families and they don't actually have that much money. They're hoping that over time a little bit of their investment will pay off, and they might be able to use that investment property for, you know, to pay for the university education of their children, or a little bit more for retirement. But these are not people with huge amounts of money, but they're saying, well, we've done a little bit of a business decision here. Now, the government's come in and said, well, we're not going to treat you like a business. We're going to treat you as a completely separate class, and we're going to tax you higher.
Okay, so moving on to our next topic for this week, we're looking at the Climate Commission, and ACT has proposed has spoken out about it and talked about how the Climate Commission is not making the right changes. And ACT has proposed credit prices are set by the market, and isn't this unreasonable to let the market go at its own rate when the threat of the climate emergency is imminent?
Well, I think there's a need to reframe it. So if I look back at what the ACT policy is, we do believe that we must play our part on climate change. That is absolutely clear. But it has to be that anything that we do to reduce emissions is easy to administer. It's going to be politically durable, which means it should go forward into the future, not depending on what party is in government. And it actually has to be effective. The rules that we're setting as a government have to be things that people can actually do. And the Climate Change Commission, the head of it, Rob Carr, came out this weekend, and he actually admitted that the Climate Change Commission draft advice doesn't recommend the most efficient pathway for emission reduction. So at that point, you actually have to ask the question, well, what is the purpose? What is the point of the Climate Change Commission's report? You know, they've essentially said that the government should be able to go into different industries and say that people need to, for example, in agriculture, reduce how many stock animals that they have on their farms and cull them. But on the whole of it, they actually haven't recommended the fastest or most cost-effective way to reduce emissions. And ultimately, I think this becomes a real political point that sounded good in theory, but when people actually sit back and look at what this means in practice, it's not actually the best way to reduce emissions. It is simply through the ETS.
So part of the ETS is with allowing businesses to give off carbon emissions, and a lot of it comes with also personal responsibility for businesses. So, and this model relies a lot on responsibility coming from businesses. And if that's something that's going to motivate climate change and helping us as a society combat it, why have we not seen significant change previously when the science has been available?
I think really what we're seeing over time is we are seeing a society shift. You know, even 10 years ago, people weren't quite as, signed up for wanting to take part in reducing emissions. I think we have moved a huge way, even in my lifetime. And if I take a simple example of what the difference here would be from the ETS solution versus what the government is proposing through the Climate Change Commission, is if you look at, for example, gas, we do need gas to cook, to burn things, to create an energy source for New Zealand so we can actually live and produce things. We do that every day. Under the ETS, if you decided that you really wanted to go to a restaurant that cooked with gas, they would have a higher price for it, and people would be making a conscious choice. Well, I'm willing to pay that price because this is something I want to do, and that company would have to offset that through a cost. Under this law, under the commission, they've said, well, we're just going to ban it. But ultimately, this comes down to the same problem that we had with the oil and gas ban nationwide, is that we still need an energy source. So all we've done is import coal from Indonesia, which is worse for global climate change emissions. We need to be looking at the larger picture instead of looking really specifically at industries and saying this is good or this is bad. It's all interdependent.
That was Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party. And if you have any opinions on this topic, as we've got quite a few texts around it, feel free to text us on 5395 or call us on 309 3879. But that was our catch-up with Brooke Van Velden.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.